Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Well, let's go in our Bibles this evening to Matthew 21. Now, it's kind of been broken up, but we've been in a series on answered prayer. And so we're going to, I've got a couple more after tonight that we're going to talk about, I think. But I don't know about you, I like my prayers being answered. Yeah. If I'm going to pray, I might as well get answers. Yeah. Have you ever been in a time of prayer and you were just kind of like halfway there? How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you weren't, you're just like, well, I'm going to put my time in, but I've done that before and I think, well, wait a minute, I'm going to be here no matter what. I might as well pray and be fervent about it. Amen. Well, I'm going to be here, I might as well do something, right, in faith. Amen. So I don't want to just pray, I want to get my prayers answered. So tonight, you know, we've just been talking about elements of things. You could talk about a lot of things, but tonight, we've talked about, you know, how your lifestyle affects your prayer life. Yeah. Now, it doesn't get talked about a lot, but it does, and the Bible's got a lot of scriptures about that, about how prayer, answered prayer is connected to you bearing fruit in your lifestyle. And so we want to make sure we live a godly kind of lifestyle, because if we don't, our heart condemns us. And if our heart condemns us, then we don't have confidence before God. So it hurts our faith. And then we talked about last time about how our prayers need to be word-based. In other words, we need to know what the Word has to say about it and go back to the Word, find out what the Word of God has to say. And, you know, so that's important. But tonight I want to talk about the element of faith. And so this is like our third teaching on answered prayer and how faith is a real big important part to our prayer life. Amen. And if you don't know that, see, you know, sometimes people, there's hoping and praying, but really they need to be in faith about it. So Jesus said this in Matthew 21, Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, this was after he'd cursed the fig tree, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. So Jesus is just letting us know that faith will cause all kinds of things to come to pass in our life. All kinds of things. You know, he uses this, you know, he cursed a fig tree. I don't think he was angry. No. You know, five years ago, something like that, I heard the, I did, you know, it been, the word had been around, but I hadn't paid any attention to it, about the word, what's it called, hangry? Yeah. Means you're hungry and you're angry. Yeah. Well, I hadn't heard of, I mean, no, Jesus wasn't hangry. He wasn't mad at the fig tree. He used it as a faith lesson to teach his disciples about faith. And so that's what he's talking about. He said, you could do, if you had faith, you could do what I did to this fig tree. But not only that, you could remove a mountain. You could say to a mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. How many know that probably all of us could use a little more faith? How many could agree with that? And so I just realized when I was reading this just recently, I just realized Jesus is literally saying that anything that you possibly could need done in your life, faith will get it done. Amen. And he went on to say, verse 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, one of the things that got me thinking along some of the lines I'm going to talk about tonight, just for a little bit here, is I was sitting in a church and I was getting ready to, I was getting there to preach at a church in another state, and I was sitting on the front row. And I was sitting on the front row, I noticed a sign on the pulpit that said, prayer changes things. Have you ever seen that sign, prayer changes things? That's a good sign. How many got, you don't, maybe you got that sign, prayer changes things, okay? But as I was looking at that sign, the Lord began to deal with me. And he began to speak to me, and he said, you know, this is the essence of what he said to me. It isn't really, prayer doesn't really change things. It's quiet. Believing prayer changes things. A lot of people pray, right? There's false religions that pray. I don't know, Brother Kenny may not remember this, but several years ago, we were in a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant, and this sweet little waitress was waiting on us, and she told Brother Kenny, she said, I pray to Buddha, no help. Brother Kenny said to her, won't you try praying to Jesus for a while? I mean, she's praying, but she says no help. It's not changing anything. And so prayer alone, now that, I still like the sign, don't misunderstand me, but you got to understand the revelation behind that. The prayer alone doesn't change things. It's believing prayer. That's the only kind that changes things, is when you believe. And we're going to talk about that, what that means tonight a little bit, because that was, when I saw that, you know, and I was sitting there in that church, and the Lord began to minister to me about that sign, and I got to thinking, wow, that is, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way, that it isn't just prayer that changes things, it's believing prayer that changes things. And Jesus said that right here. He said, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. Now, we're going to talk about what that believing is in just a minute, but I want to look at a few scriptures here tonight. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 6. Go there, Mark chapter 6, because I want to talk about this a little bit. Because one of the things that I've been teaching on faith now for over 40-some years, so I certainly don't know it all, but I've learned some things through the Word of God, some things through trial and error, some things through the Holy Spirit, some things through my precious wife about faith. And so, you know, I've seen what works and what doesn't work, and I've been in the side where we were a little bit on the excess of things. How many know if Satan can't get you in one side of the ditch, he'll try to get you in the other one. And so you got to find out what the Word says and stay with it. Right? You know, just like Brother Brad was talking about, some of the churches now, even large churches, teaching that you don't have to tithe. I don't know where they got that at, because I've got a Bible that says something a little different than that. Amen. And so I don't know. And I like what he said. I hadn't thought of that. If you've been preaching that, because I know one particular pastor, he preached it for years, and then he gets up and tells that it's not so, you don't have to do that, well, then he should return the tithe to everybody all those years for preaching an error to him. But, you know, it's just like we've said before, it didn't begin with the law, but it was upheld by the law. It didn't end with the law because it was upheld by Jesus. And it didn't end with Jesus because it's upheld in the book of Hebrews. And so there's no place where it says, thou shalt not tithe any longer. Right? I am the Lord. I change not. With him there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Not even the least bit. He doesn't turn the least bit. That means like that. What that's talking about there in James is like the heavenly planets rotate. God doesn't do that. He stays the same in every season. He's always the same. And so when I was looking at that sign and God began to minister to me, and he said, it's not just prayer that changes things, because a lot of people pray, but they don't really believe that something's going to change. And the reason you know they don't believe is the way they talk after they got done praying. They talk like nothing's going to change. Amen. But we should expect change when we pray. And I'm going to preach on this. I don't know when the Lord's going to release me. But one, I talked to our partners that, you know, with the traveling minister, I think it was in the letter this month, where I wrote about how, you know, part of receiving from God, part of faith is waiting. It's the part I don't care for. But it's still in there. And it's really plain if you read the Bible. And really, most of the healings I've received in my life, I didn't get them instantly. I told you about one. I got when the church prayed for me, and I, you know, that was when they prayed. That was pretty. That was instant. And I've had some, But for the most part, I've had to fight the fight of faith and continue to believe, and then it manifested down the road. Because that's just part of the, you know, part of the and one of the things is here's what I learned as a pastor for all these years, is that when you got baby Christians, you can, you know, you can carry them on your faith, and God doesn't require as much out of them. Just like you don't require as much out of your little 2-year-old or 1-year-old as you do your 12-year-old. And so as you get a little older, you got to use your faith, and you got to learn how to fight, and you got to learn how to stand. Amen. God's already done everything for you, but He doesn't do everything for you. I don't know if this will make sense, but He doesn't do everything for you in the receiving part. That's on your part. You understand that? So He doesn't do that part. That's your part. His part's to provide. His part, he paid the price for you to have it. His part is to provide when you believe for it. Amen. So here in Mark chapter 6, go with me here to verse 5 and 6. I've read this scripture over the years, used it a lot. I really like it. It says a lot. It says, talking about Jesus in verse 5 of Mark 6, it says, He could there do no mighty work. That's Jesus, everybody. Right? Now notice, it doesn't say He wouldn't, said He couldn't. Now I know people say, well, He's God, He can do anything. Well, as God, He could do anything. But how many know there's some things God doesn't do. He doesn't lie. He doesn't break His word. And He doesn't sin. He doesn't tempt us with evil. Amen. He doesn't curse His children. And so there's things that God doesn't do. And Jesus, now I know people fight you over this, but here's the truth. When Jesus was on the earth, He wasn't just doing everything as God. I mean, He died on the cross as a man. God can't die. He was still God, but He had on a man's body. And His healings and stuff. See, the Bible says, He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me. Well, how do you know God Himself doesn't have to be anointed? He is the anointing. Who's God? Who's going to anoint God? Anybody want to volunteer? How do you know He's already anointed, right? So if Jesus had to be anointed, He wasn't doing it, even though He was God when He was here on the earth. He wasn't doing it as God. And I think the Amplified Bible says it the best. I think it says it something like this in Philippians. Said he stripped Himself of His rightful privileges as God. And became a man. Amen. He became a man. He operated as a man. And so here it says He could do any mighty work. Now, let's just know why. It says He could there do no mighty work except He laid His hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And really, when you study this out, one guy that can read Greek, he said that this actually means that he had minor ailments. They didn't have much wrong with them. So some people with some headaches and things got healed, but there weren't any major healings. And He marveled because of their unbelief, and He went around about the villages teaching. So what was the problem here? Well, it was their unbelief. See, God moves in an atmosphere of faith. You know, a fish lives in an environment of water, right? An atmosphere of water. And you get the fish out of water, and it's not going to be long until the fish is not doing anything. Right? If your kids get the goldfish out, play with it on the coffee table, its life expectancy isn't long. Right? Because why? It's got an environment that it thrives in. God has an environment that His power thrives in. It's an environment of faith. And because there wasn't an environment of faith here, He couldn't do any mighty works. If unbelief stopped Him then, unbelief stops Him now, doesn't it? See, when we think about it, there are so many scriptures about this that, you know, I'm not going to run, you know, bunch of scripture references, but just think about what the Bible says in James, that when you ask, James said, which is James, how many know who James was? Right. He was Jesus' what? Half-brother, wasn't he? They lived in the same household. How many think he knew a little bit about Jesus? Yeah. And the thing about James is one of the things you see in the book of James is you see an emphasis on faith.
Chapter 1 talks about faith. Chapter 2 is talking about faith. Chapter 5 is talking about praying the prayer of faith over the sick. Well, he got that from his elder brother, didn't he? And so James said, he said that if you ask for something, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and toss. Now listen to what he said. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because God doesn't move in that atmosphere. Think about the book of James. You know, further there, we talked about the scripture. Is there any sick among you? What does it tell us to do? Because as you can call, this is one way. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. What do many churches do if they're sick? Lord, if it be your will, is there any faith in that? There's doubt in that because you don't know what you're saying. I don't know. Doubt's I don't know. Right? Doubt means, you know, you're doubting, you know. You don't know. And so, but the James said, let them pray the prayer of faith. Let them pray over him in the name of the Lord, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and pray the prayer, and the prayer of faith shall what? Shall save the sick. Shall, what's going to save the sick? The prayer of faith, and the Lord shall raise him up. So how many of the faith comes before the Lord raising him up? And it goes on to tell us, pray for one another that you be healed. So not just the elders praying for you, but pray for one another. You see one of your brothers and sisters sick, you can pray for them. And the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know what we used to think that was in Pentecost? Praying hard and strong and loud. We thought that was fervent prayer. But you know what? When you look at that, it already told you what, the fervent, the effectual, it says the fervent effectual prayer, or the word effectual means effective. In other words, it does something. It's effective. And so he already told us what the fervent effective prayer was. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Then a couple verses later, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or makes much power available, the Amplified Bible says. So it's not just praying hard and long and fast and having a lot of, you know, flowery about you and a lot of these and thous. How many know God? No, I use the King James. I like the King James. That's just what I like, okay? I've tried other translations. They're okay. I like the New King James really well. I like the Amplified Bible really well. There's another one that I like really well. But you know what? I grew up on King James, and I just think King James, and that's the way I quote scriptures, and so I just like it. I'm comfortable with it, all right? But God doesn't speak Elizabethan English. Unless he's talking to Elizabeth. How many know, when people prophesy, I've been in churches all over the place. I mean, I've been in some really poor churches and backwoods churches. I'm not making fun. Don't misunderstand me, because I'm kind of country myself. And if you think I butcher words now, you should go back 40 years. Brother, I really butchered them then. I've got a little more grace in my speech, but I've gone to, you know, churches where, you know, I mean, when they give a prophetic word, I mean, it's hillbilly, it's country. You know, God will talk to you the way you think, right? You know what I'm saying? He'll talk. How many know he can speak all the languages of the earth? Amen. And so James said that the effectual fervent prayer, it's not to, you know, like praying fast and hard and with fervency, although there's times we need to do that. But what it is, it's a prayer of faith. That's what's effective. That's what he said would save the sick. Amen. So we're just clear about that. But here's a statement I want to give to you, and I want you to remember this. In prayer, the emphasis is not on God's ability. but it's on faith. Think about the woman with the issue of blood that came to Jesus. She had been sick for 12 years, and when she came to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says that virtue, that's the old King James, or we would say power, went out of him, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague immediately. And notice when Jesus turned to her and he said, well, he asked, who touched me? Remember that? And no, you know, they all denied and said, we didn't do it. But, you know, it's like Peter said, you know, the multitudes, everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who's touched you? Well, he wasn't talking about who bumped into me. Somebody touched me with faith. See, what happened? Somebody came in the atmosphere of faith and got some power. See? And so he turns to her, and, you know, and she tells him the whole truth, what happened, and all. And he said to her, now listen to what he said, the way he said it. He didn't say, like what religion would say, he didn't say, daughter, my power's made you whole. It was his power made her whole, right? Virtue went out of him. But that's not what he emphasized, was it? He said, daughter, your. Who determined whether she was going to be whole? She did. Not God. He's ready to make everybody whole. But you and I, this will get you in trouble in religious circles. You and I determine what Jesus is going to do. Or we could, maybe a better way might be able to say, what's going to flow from him? What's going to flow from him? If anything is. How many, with a multitude of people around, how many, there's other people sick that's bumping into him. I mean, you don't think there's a lot of sick people? Just go into the hospitals. They're the most prosperous places in the city. I mean, think about the one we got over here, over that way. No, the hospital. Yeah, it's like a city. I mean, you know, it's so big, right? I mean, there's cars all around. I go in there, every now and then I go see people. And I'll go in, I'll see all these cars, and I'm parking way back in the back, you know. And I walk in there, and that place is so big, it's like, hello, anybody home? Remember the Home Alone 2 movie? Uncle Rob, Aunt Georgette. Anybody here? It's like, where are all these people? This place is so big, man. They're just buzzing everywhere. All right, how many think that Jesus in that crowd had more people sick than just this little lady? Just like the time the guys that let the guy down through the roof, the Bible said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, how many of them must have needed to be healed? The power wouldn't be present to heal if them didn't need to be healed. Right? If everybody's saved in the room, the power's not present to save, everybody's saved. If everybody's healed, the power's not present to heal, everybody's healed. So they had to be them, but only one got them because only one had an atmosphere of faith about him, see? So we have to understand in prayer, the emphasis isn't on God's power or on what our God's ability. That's without question what he can do. Right. Amen. He's without end to his power. The question is, what can we believe? What can we believe, right? So when you look at that, it lets you know that this emphasis, this faith emphasis has to be in our prayer life. Now think about it. You know, think about this. If you bought a new freezer and you bring it home and you put it in the garage, or we used to call them the utility room. I don't know they call them that any longer, but, you know, the utility room. Or the breezeway. I remember breezeways. I know why we had breezeways. Anybody know? I'll tell you why we had breezeways. Because we didn't have air conditioning. When we get hot, you sit in the breezeway where all the windows are open and hope for something to blow through. Come on. I mean, you can live without air conditioning. I don't want to do it, but you can. I did for years. But you bring the freezer home, and how many know you don't just bring the freezer home, put it in the garage or whatever, and you start talking to somebody. Boy, I'll tell you what, this house has got power. I mean, we got power. There's power lines running here. Every one of these outlets has got power. Praise God for power. We got power. I'm telling you, I've paid my bill. We got power. You put your meat in there and all your freezer stuff. We got power. We got power. How many know you need more than power? You need to do what? Plug it in. See, a lot of the church wants to emphasize we got power. God's got power. They say God's got power. They're very saying we got power. They say God's got power. God's got power. God could do anything. And people will shout over that. Well, that's fine, but are you plugging in? See, it's not enough just to have something. You got to plug into it. And so this is where the emphasis is at. And this is, because listen, I know that people have a struggle with this, and I just want to deal with it tonight, just for a little bit here, and talk about how we need to just go beyond just the power thing and realize there's no problem with God doing anything for you. Right? I mean, I've heard of healings just outstanding. This is like, are you kidding me? And so God, there's no problem with power. You know, like Brother Brad talked about. I think it might have been him, or it might have been somebody else talking about parting the Red Sea. Well, yeah, I think it was you that God did that. How many of that's some power? Think about it. We're not talking about parting the Ohio River. Although that'd be pretty. That'd make you shout. I'm going to Kentucky. Right? But have you know, there's no end to God's power. So, but it's up to us whether we're gonna plug in. Right. Now I wanna close out because there's one last scripture. And this is what I want to talk about tonight and emphasize, because when we talk about believing, a lot of people don't understand believing. And I think I'm gonna preach on this Sunday morning if the Lord allows me. There's a huge difference in believing in something, and believing for something. And too much of the church is in this realm of believing in something, but don't believe for things. There's a big difference. Now, look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go here. It gives us the definition of faith. And so I want to kind of break it down for you a little bit, just to kind of let the Lord talk to us about what is really believing God? What is really believing God? Well, the Bible gives us a definition of faith, and I know, it needs some explanation, and that's what we're going to do just for a few minutes here. In Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 1. Here's what the Bible says faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Y'all got it? That's what faith is, right? All right, so let's break it down for you, brother. I want you to see this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're sick, how many know what you're hoping for? Or if you have some other need, you're hoping for what the promise is, right? All right. So what's gonna give substance to it? This shouldn't be hard. It's open book test. How many know you got the answer right there? What's going to bring substance to it? It's faith. people sometimes think, and I know on Pentecost they used to think, if we could just make it seem like this anyway, if we could just make God feel sorry for us, that shouldn't be hard. But that doesn't do it. How many know that? God's had compassion on us. Because he had compassion on us, he sent Jesus to the cross. He's already had compassion on us. He's already felt sorry for us. Now it's up to us. And the Bible tells us we can't be saved without faith, right? So now faith is the substance. So faith gives substance to the things that we want. So you can want things, but if you don't allow faith to give substance to it, you'll never have it. You'll never have it. You never have it. You can know God promised it, see. And you could want it. You could strongly want it. But your faith has to give it substance. It has to give it substance. Now, he goes on to tell us it's the substance of things hoped for. Notice this. It's the evidence of things not seen. So
think about it. It's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, what the Bible's telling us is if we're going to operate in faith, we can't let what we see in the natural be our evidence. That's not faith. What is faith? See, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? So what is faith based on? It's based on what God's Word says. See, that's the thing about it, that where Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. See, the limiters on that, the governor on that, is you have to believe. And the only way you can believe is if you have God's Word. Only God's Word creates faith. People think miracles create faith. No, miracles stir people up, maybe to use their faith. But faith comes on solid, concrete evidence. If you don't have that, you can't have faith. Amen. You ever went across the bridge and you weren't sure? Oh, yeah, I was going to preach for a church on one Sunday morning. Phyllis might remember this was many years ago. It was kind of a church in a little community. And so I decided for, I don't know why I do this sometimes, but I decided to take the scenic route. That means the back roads instead of the highway. And so we got to this bridge and it crossed the river. And I think it might have been the White River. And the river was about that far from the bottom of that bridge. And it was a wooden bridge. And I didn't have confidence. I would not go across it. I did not know. I didn't have concrete confidence that that thing would hold me. Nay, I'm sure it would have. It probably was in use for at least a week or two after that, the way it looked. But that river was just too close to the bottom of it, and it was moving pretty fast because it was kind of high. And so I turned around. We went back out to the highway and made it to the church in time to do the service. But I wasn't going to go across that bridge because I didn't have concrete evidence. I heard a story one time back in the early 1900s. There was a guy by the name of Charles Blondin or something like that. He's a French guy, or I think he was Blondin or something like that. He was a tightrope walker, you know what I'm saying? And he stretched a wire across Niagara Falls, part of Niagara Falls, and walked across it. You can Google this. You can find the guy as Charles Blondin or something like that. But anyway, the one time they said that he pushed a wheelbarrow across it. And so he's going across Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow. He gets to the other side. People are over there. They're all cheering. You know, they're all excited, man. So he says to them, he says, how many believe I can do it again? And they were all, yeah, we believe you can do it again. He said, who'll get in the wheelbarrow? Nobody volunteered. They weren't that concrete. See, that's kind of like, now we got to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes our faith is in that place where it's not concrete. And the only thing that makes it concrete is God's Word. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So our evidence can't be what we see, because what we see may not be changed yet. You understand? Faith is, see, this verse is assuming that you don't have it yet, because faith is your evidence. Once you have it, you don't need any evidence any longer. You got it. So faith is going to be your evidence. Now, I want to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible as we close out tonight, because the Amplified Bible says it in a way, I really love the way it says it. The Amplified Bible says, this is Hebrews 11:1, the verse we read. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation, the title deed. I like that. The things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Listen to this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Do you think God's Word could get you so convinced that you perceive it as real fact even though you can't see it physically? Till you get there, you're not in real Bible faith.
How many can see that sometimes we're not in faith when we think we're in faith? Because faith doesn't need any evidence naturally. It takes God's word as evidence. And that's the only evidence it has to have to go ahead and believe it. Now think about the title, the word, the phrase title deed. How many know if I give you a deed to a vehicle, I sign it over to you, you know you got it even though you don't see it. Because you got confidence in that piece of paper. There wouldn't be a deed if there wasn't a vehicle. So that piece of paper gives you all the confidence you need. Now you already know you got it whether you see it or not. If I give a deed to some property, if you got the deed, you may not have seen the property, but you can rejoice because you know you got it because there's a deed here. Until we get that way with God's word, we're not in what the Bible calls faith. See, if you don't get to the place where faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, till you can get to the place where all the evidence you need is this book right here, you're not in faith about it totally yet. You may be partially a little bit, but you're not full faith yet. Now, what you think about, there's things in your life that this book's got you convinced about. How many believe in heaven? How many seen it? Why do you believe it? Book. How many believe in Jesus? How many seen him? Most people haven't. Why do you believe it? The book. You see what I'm saying? How many believe your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many seen your name written there? How are you sure about it? Are you sure about it? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you positive?
Yes.
Well, why are you so positive? The book. The book. See, until you get to where this book is your evidence, it's your title deed. It's not what Hebrews 11:1 is talking about. It has to get to this place. And if we'll just be honest with us ourselves, we're not there in every area. I know you didn't say amen, but I'm being honest with you. I know I'm still working on it. Thank God for his mercy.
Amen.
Amen. But when we get to that place, it's just like Jesus said, you can say to the mountain, it'll go. You can say to this tree and it'll die. When you get to that place, how many know Jesus was at that place? Remember this, and I'll close with this story. Remember the time the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord? Let me back up here. I know. That's just exactly what I was thinking. You were thinking, what time? Which of the 150 times was that, Pastor? As soon as I said that, that's exactly what I thought. I was drinking water and couldn't say it. I thought, they're going to be like, what time when they sinned against the Lord? Like, Pastor, in a Pentecost church. Anyway, they had sinned against the Lord, and fiery serpents came out. Remember that? And bit them. And Moses prayed for them, and the Lord said, all right. He said, here's what you're going to have to do. Make a pole, make a serpent, a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And it'll come to pass that everybody that looks at it will live. If he's been bitten by a serpent. I mean, that's just a sign. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. All that serpent on a pole was a type of Jesus bearing the curse for us on the cross. That's what it's a type of. And so we look to him. See. How many that and when the Lord told Moses, he said, everyone that looks at that serpent will live. When that word look means to gaze at or to look at intently or to stare at. I mean, it's mighty hard to stare at something else when there's serpents around your feet. Do you ever think about that? I mean, one snake, and Phyllis wants me to get the hoe out. We had a snake in our yard, a brown snake, and he was living in there, and I'd see him every now and then, and I wouldn't do anything to him, you know. He'd just run when he's run, you know. He'd just take off when he, you know, he lost these limbs over the garden thing. How many know that? How many know he did? How many know he used to, right? But that garden thing, he lost his legs over it.
And so, you know, she would say, and she told me, she said, now the next time you see him, kill him. I said, all right. I guess he heard it because I never saw him after that. But how many know if you had a bunch of them, and these are fiery, biting serpents that are killing people. Most serpents don't kill you when they bite you. And they're biting people. And the Lord said, look intently at that. That took some faith. But if we do it, if we look to that instead of all the circumstances and negative things, and the curse going on around us, it goes on around us. It tries to go around in our life. If we look at that, then we'll live. Amen? You get bad news from the doctor. Well, we're not saying ignore that. We're not saying don't do anything to help your body. We're not saying that at all. You got to keep this body alive, right? And sometimes it needs some medical assistance, okay, until you receive your healing. You don't want to die before you receive your healing. I guess you would be healed then. But you know what I'm saying? If you want to live on, you may have to do some things with it. But don't look at all that. Look to what Jesus did at the cross. Let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word. And thank God we can have our prayers answered, but we have to have the element of faith. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.